Words have power. They can build empires, destroy reputations, or heal broken hearts. But who decides what words actually mean? In Victorian England, two extraordinary men embarked on a quest to document every English word ever used. One was a brilliant, self-taught Scottish professor. The other was an American Civil War surgeon confined to an insane asylum for murder. Their improbable collaboration would produce one of humanity's greatest intellectual achievements and a friendship that defied all odds. This is the story of how madness and genius intersected to create the Oxford English Dictionary, and how the English language itself was forever transformed. The foggy streets of London's Lambeth slum district witnessed a shocking scene on February 17, 1872. George Merritt, a poor brewery worker and father of six, lay dying while a well-dressed American stood nearby with a smoking gun. Dr. William Chester Minor, a Yale-educated surgeon from a wealthy family, admitted to the shooting but claimed he was defending himself against imaginary tormentors. Recognizing his delusions, the court sentenced him to Broadmoor Criminal Lunatic Asylum rather than the gallows. Meanwhile, James Murray rose to prominence through intellectual determination. Born to humble Scottish parents and leaving school at 14, his insatiable curiosity drove him to master dozens of languages and scientific disciplines independently. Murray's eccentricities were legendary, teaching Latin to cows during walks, conducting elaborate garden experiments, and sporting a magnificent waist-length beard. Despite lacking formal credentials, his brilliance propelled him from bank clerk to respected philologist. In 1879, Murray was appointed editor of a project that had languished for decades, creating a comprehensive historical dictionary of the English language. Previous attempts had failed dismally. After 22 years, the Philological Society had only reached the word ant. Murray's revolutionary solution was recruiting thousands of volunteer readers to find examples of words used throughout literary history. Among those who responded was a mysterious American doctor writing from an unusual address in Berkshire. Within Broadmoor, Minor created an extraordinary life. His wealth and military pension afforded him special privileges. His two-room suite became a scholar's haven filled with antique books, paintings, and fine furniture. By day, he lived as a gentleman academic. By night, he battled terrifying hallucinations of intruders who tortured him. When Minor discovered Murray's appeal for dictionary volunteers, he found his salvation. The project required exactly what he possessed: time, education, and books. He developed a systematic approach, reading methodically and creating elaborate index cards for each word, organizing them in custom-built cabinets. His first contribution for the word art provided dozens of perfectly formatted quotations, astonishing the dictionary staff with both quality and quantity. For years, Murray corresponded with his mysterious American contributor, increasingly impressed by the thousands of impeccable quotations from Crawthorne. Assuming Minor was a retired scholar, Murray finally visited in 1897 and was directed to Broadmoor Asylum. The superintendent's revelation stunned him. Dr. Minor is not an employee. He is an inmate. He's been here for over 20 years. He's a murderer and quite insane. Rather than recoiling, Murray was moved by compassion. That afternoon, in Minor's book-lined asylum rooms, began one of history's most remarkable friendships. Murray later wrote, "He was a fine, scholarly figure, with white hair and a full beard, scrupulously groomed. One would never have guessed that I was speaking with a madman." Their shared passion for language transcended circumstances, and Murray began visiting regularly, bringing books and news from the outside world. Minor's madness originated in the American Civil War, where he served as a battlefield surgeon. The horrors he witnessed, especially during the 1864 Battle of the Wilderness, shattered his psyche. What modern doctors would diagnose as PTSD with paranoid schizophrenia had no name in Victorian medicine. His breaking point came when ordered to brand an Irish deserter with a hot iron. Though he complied, this violation of his medical oath seemed to fuel his growing paranoia about Irish conspirators seeking revenge. By war's end, Minor carried unauthorized weapons, compulsively visited prostitutes, and experienced vivid hallucinations. Despite his deteriorating mental state, the dictionary work provided structure and purpose. His contributions became so significant that entire OED sections relied heavily on his research. Murray was astonished that such scholarly precision could emerge from a mind so tormented. Yet Minor's demons persisted. In 1902, overwhelmed by religious mania and guilt about uncontrollable sexual urges, he mutilated himself in an attempt to stop what he perceived as sinful desires. After this incident, Minor's dictionary work decreased, though he continued contributing when health permitted. His brother began advocating for his return to America, believing familiar surroundings might comfort him in his declining years. After 38 years in Broadmoor, Minor was released in 1910 through Winston Churchill's intervention, on condition he leave Britain permanently. The farewell between Murray and Minor was deeply emotional, though restrained, with Murray giving Minor his portrait as a final token of their friendship. Minor returned to America, spending his final years in St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Washington, D.C. Though finding some peace, his mind remained fractured until his death in 1920. Murray had died in 1915, working on the dictionary until his final days. By 1927, nearly 70 years after its conception, the Oxford English Dictionary was completed, a monumental achievement of over 400,000 words and nearly 2 million illustrative quotations. Minor's thousands of contributions formed an integral part of the dictionary's historical record of English. What makes this story powerful is how Minor's tragedy became both his penance and purpose. Through dictionary work, he created something lasting and valuable despite his illness and imprisonment. While George Merritt's memory faded with time, Minor's contributions endure in the Oxford English Dictionary, a living memorial few can match. The OED stands as testament to both linguistic evolution and human collaboration across boundaries of circumstance, geography, and sanity. What began as an ambitious Victorian project united thousands of volunteers, from renowned scholars to anonymous readers, over more than a century. When consulting a dictionary today, we rarely consider the human stories behind it. The countless hours of reading, selection of quotations, and debates over definitions. Behind the OED's clinical precision lies a story of redemption, friendship, and intellectual passion. In our age of instant information, there's something moving about the handcrafted nature of the original dictionary. Murray's correspondence with volunteers, Minor's meticulously indexed quotation slips, and generations of editors who shaped this repository of linguistic knowledge. Their legacy lives each time we consider a word's precise meaning through centuries of human expression. The story of the professor and the madman reminds us that our greatest achievements often come from unexpected sources, and that even damaged minds can contribute profoundly to human knowledge. It shows how words connect us across time and circumstance, and how the pursuit of understanding can itself be a path to redemption.